Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode 9 of ATL Sports HQ Live. Thank you for joining us. I'm Phil. Follow me at underscore ATL Phil.
What's up, guys? I'm Derek. You can follow me on Twitter at D Clemens.
I'm Ryan Miller. You can follow me on Twitter at underscore R Miller 30.
Not much going on this week. I hope you guys all had a great Christmas or whichever holidays you celebrate this time of the year. Good time with family and friends. But let's start things off with our Atlanta Hawks. Our Atlanta Hawks had their surprising three-game winning streak snap last night to Indiana. Really, this was the first time the Hawks have won three games since 2017. So tough sledding lately. But what were some takeaways from last night's loss, Eric?
I think altogether the team just played well all throughout the game. But the Pacers just were too much at the end. I mean, we got solid play again from John Collins. I mean, he's just been amazing throughout this little stretch. And one of the downfalls, I think Kevin Hurts, or he didn't play as well as we would like to see coming on that starting lineup. But I just think, like Trae Young, he had an efficient game. He shot well. He was creating offense for other players on the team. And then, of course, the career night for Kent Bazemore, I think he tied his career high. So, I mean, it was just a solid outing from the whole team. And just at the end, we just couldn't get the right looks and couldn't stop Tyreke Evans. And then it ended up being a loss.
Yeah, it was a lot like a lot of the games last year where we found ourselves being able to compete for three quarters and into the fourth quarter. But at the end, we just don't have the star power to get it done. There were a lot of positives, though, a lot of good lines from a lot of people last night, including John Collins, Trae Young, Jeremy Lin, Kent Bazemore with a career game. So there's really, you know, it's getting better. We're not getting blown out every day like we were for about a month or so. And I thought I wasn't going to make it through this season without having to cut my head off. But it's a process. We're a very young team. But shout out to Kent Bazemore and Dwayne Dedmon playing well. That could bring good things to us lately. What did you think, Ryan?
I thought it was great. You know, we finally saw the offense. They put up a 121, I believe it was. And like y'all said, Kent Bazemore had another career night. You know, he's put on a stretch of games where he performed really well. Some people think that's increasing his trade value, but if he can continue it and John Collins and Trae Young keep doing their thing, you know, this team might win 25 games.
Yeah, the Hawks, as I said, the Hawks have been playing better as of late. You know, there's that stretch there where it looked like we may not ever win a game ever again. But then I think we're about 4-6 in our last 10, something around there, maybe like 5-7 in the last 12. It's a decent stretch right now. You know, they're playing good basketball. The offense is finally clicking. We're hitting the threes because all season we've been the worst team in the league as far as three-point shooting. So we're finally getting some things to go. The defense still needs work, but the effort is there. You know, we're worst in the league in points per game allowed, but in part that is due to our pace. We play the fastest pace in the league. And obviously, if you're playing a faster pace, there's going to be more possessions, so more chances for the other team to score points. But the play of John Collins really is why the Hawks have had more success as of late. He's playing like an all-star. Now, I know we got a campaign going on Twitter, hashtag JC to NC, to try to get him to Charlotte. It's going to be an uphill battle. The numbers are there, but I can't see them rewarding a 9-24 team with an all-star unless he was, like, you remember back in the day, Joe Johnson was averaging 25 points a game, and he didn't get named an all-star until he was like an injury replacement. So it's going to be uphill. What do you think, Ryan? Why are the Hawks having more success?
I think you see more efficiency from Trae Young. He's not forcing the deep ball as much recently. You know, he's kind of gotten away from shooting 6-7 of them a night. I think last night he only took 2 and he made both of them. He's attacking more on the inside game. So I think that's a tribute to a lot of it.
Yeah, I'd say going off of that, I mean, like you said, Phil, John Collins has played a huge part of it. I mean, every night his consistent play on the glass, on the defensive end, and then also he's scoring at an efficient rate. I mean, he's shooting, what, like 60% on the year, I think, right now. And, I mean, we're receiving scoring from everyone, and Kent Bazemore is starting to get more in the flow of being sometimes the go-to guy at late and just throughout the game. And Trae Young, like Ryan said, he's starting to be more efficient. He's not relying on his three-point shooting. He's attacking and being a little more passive. I mean, I'd still like him to be aggressive, but it's good to see him be more passive and want to get the other guys involved. And I think another big thing is just the play of Jeremy Lin coming off the bench. I mean, he's been great. He's always brought a lot to the second unit to keep the offense going when the starters cannot come out. So, I mean, I think it's just a mix of everything. I think it's all starting to come together. The rookies are starting to get more comfortable, and everybody's just getting more comfortable playing together as a team. And you can tell that the chemistry continues to grow.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm sure everybody has noticed, every single time the Hawks win this year, you go to the replies of anybody saying that they won, the team, the analysts, our beat writers, if you go to the replies, fans are pissed off talking about, we're going to lose Zion. Why are y'all winning? What are you doing? What is your message to those fans, Ryan?
I wouldn't worry about it too much because, like I said, this team probably won't win no more than 25 games. So these couple stretches where we do win games in 3 to 4 in bunches, that really helps all the young guys' confidence. And we want that going into next season when we do have a lottery draft pick alongside John Collins and Trae Young.
Yeah. What about you, Derek? What do you have to say?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, like, no one just goes out there to lose, especially since we have a younger team. I mean, what would that do to their confidence? You can see on their social medias and after games when we lose how passionate they are about that, taking that loss, and how much they want to win, which I think is a great thing to see. And I hope we continue to go on these little 3-game win streaks and stuff, because I think it will help us more in the future.
Yeah, last year toward the end of the season when we won those few games, I really had a lot to say to those fans who were pissed. I wrote about it, and I think our writer Andrew also wrote about it. It's ridiculous. Stop it, people. These are professionals getting paid millions of dollars. They're not going to go out there and lose, especially when half of them are playing for their jobs next year, pretty much. And also, we have a young team. Those guys need confidence. If they're out here going, losing by 30 every night and going 12-70, what kind of culture are you building? You know, eventually we want to build a winner, hopefully as soon as next year. So if you come in, let's say the players are losing on purpose, you draft Zion Williamson, you bring him in here next year, imagine how cancerous the locker room would be. It's ridiculous. Now, the team won 3 in a row. They're not going to win 19 in a row like a few years ago. They're not going to go 50-32. It's okay. And also, fans are forgetting the lottery is different this year. We can finish with the worst record and slide all the way down to 4th easily. The top 3 teams equally have a 14% chance of winning the lottery. Or is it 12.5? 12.5 or 14. And then it doesn't go down much after that. Anybody can win the lottery now. So finishing worst doesn't guarantee anything. And honestly, it might be hard for us to finish worse than some of these teams they got this year. There's some, it's the 5 teams, the 5 basement teams right now. Atlanta, Phoenix, Cleveland, New York, and Chicago. It's going to be some interesting jockeying. It's going to be some interesting jockeying down to the end. So, a few days ago, the Christmas games. What y'all think about them? We had Utah beating Portland, Boston beat Philadelphia in a thriller, Cleveland throttled Golden State without LeBron for a whole half. The Bucks got LA. By New York.
LA, yeah.
Oh, the Lakers. And then the Thunder fell to the Rockets. But let's talk a little bit more about LA beating Golden State. Is there trouble in Golden State? I don't think so. I don't think they could give a. I don't know if I can say that word. I don't think they give a darn about a regular season game in December. And then LA was pretty much playing like it was their game seven, like they had something to prove. Nobody's beating Golden State. That's that on that. What about you, Ryan? Is there trouble in the Bay?
I don't think so. We've heard for this past month, it started with the KD and Draymond story. Asked if there was trouble there. They kind of got better. And then this Christmas game where they got beat by 26 against LA at home. Like you said, I don't think they care too much about the regular season. They've already set the record a couple of years ago for the most wins in the regular season. They'll end up finishing with the number one seed out West. And they might not be as easy, but they won't have any trouble.
I'd have to agree with Ryan. I mean, that the Warriors, they're not done, but I do think there are some worries in there, and I think some teams are starting to find out the blueprint to try to limit some of the offense, and that's not guarding Draymond Green at the three-point line. Watching that game, the Lakers just let Draymond do whatever he wanted outside of the paint. There was nobody even close to him multiple times throughout the game, and it seemed to help him. I mean, they clogged the paint, and then they stayed on Curry and Clay and Durant. But also, I think the play of Lonzo has helped the Lakers a lot. I mean, his effort on the defensive end, he's still not being as effective on the offensive end. But I think that Lonzo play really hurt the Warriors. But I think when it comes playoff time, you already know they're going to get back to business and handle it and probably win again.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the chatter on Twitter leading up to Christmas Day was that this was a very weak Christmas schedule. What did you think about that? You think this was a weak schedule?
Yeah, outside of the Oklahoma City, Boston, and Golden State game, the Portland-Utah game didn't catch my attention, and neither did Milwaukee, New York. And I think that's the first time in a while that I haven't really been as excited for NBA on Christmas.
What about you, Derek?
I watched the first quarter of that Knicks and Bucks game, and then I had to turn it off. And then I'm a fan of Russell, so I had to watch the Thunder and Rockets game. And I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't a terrible schedule. I think since the Knicks have been so bad, but they have to put them in there because of Madison Square Garden being so popular around that time, and they want to have that. But I mean, the Blazers and the Jazz, I don't think that catches anybody's eye. And then really the highlight of the night was the end of that 76ers and Celtics game, and then the Lakers and Warriors game. And I mean, that game wasn't even really competitive most of the time, so I guess it really wasn't a great night for Christmas basketball.
I thought going in it was a decent slate other than having the Knicks in there. I mean, I get it, but it's 2018 now. Every market is a big market. You know what I mean? They're not gonna lose viewers because, oh, we didn't have Madison Square Garden. Like, no, nobody cares about that anymore. So, I mean, they've had 53 Christmas games now. How many of those years have they been a winning team? 20? But the games themselves, they were okay. The best game of the night, obviously, was Philadelphia and Boston. But the Houston one was good, too. But it was disappointing. I know Houston really struggles with this. I don't know if they have a similar situation as the Falcons Stadium, but it never looks full. There's always seats. So I don't know what they got going on over there, because, I mean, that's obviously a great team. But all in all, I think the NBA could have done better. And hopefully they do better next year. But we have to also remember the schedule was made in July and August. So maybe introduce some flex scheduling. I don't know what kind of flexibility they have. You know, it's 2018, like I said. So they should be able to do whatever they want. So let's get the very best matchups on what's supposed to be the biggest day in the NBA. Speaking of NBA and Christmas, another debate that was hot on Twitter was, is Christmas NBA better than NFL Thanksgiving? I'm definitely going to think so. I am a huge NBA fan. You know, I really don't even watch NFL that much. So I'm definitely, it's appointment viewing to watch every single Christmas NBA game. I think I maybe watch part of one or two of the Thanksgiving NFL games. It's just, that's just tradition. You wake up on Christmas, you open the gifts, and then bam, the whole rest of the day, NBA is on. You know, it's not really Thanksgiving. You're usually running around, you know, dinner's a little later on Thanksgiving. You know, it might be on in the background, but it's not like appointment viewing unless the Falcons are playing. And then, well, this year I was out shopping. So, you know, everybody out shopping Thanksgiving night. Usually everyone is set put in their house on Thanksgiving, on Christmas Day. What do you think, Derek?
I'd have to agree. I mean, I enjoy watching the NFL usually more than the NBA, but I mean, Christmas, NBA ball on Christmas is probably one of my favorite things in sports throughout the year, and I just don't think it's beatable. And I don't even really think NFL on Thanksgiving even comes close.
Yeah, what about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm a huge NFL fan, football fan itself, but like my entire life, I grew up on Christmas, you open the gifts, and then I'd stay put in my room all day watching the NBA Christmas games, because that's just, I can watch for 8 hours of basketball.
Now, the Atlanta Hawks haven't had a Christmas Day game since probably Neek. I forgot to fact check that, but I'm sure they had one maybe back in 1987, somewhere around there. When will we ever play on Christmas? I thought we would have gotten one the year after we won 60 games. I really thought it was going to be us and the Wizards, but they sent the Wizards to Madison Square Garden. So when will the Hawks ever play on Christmas, Ryan?
Whenever we become a championship contender. I mean, that's the only time we're going to get it. They proved that a couple of years ago, like you said. We were competing, but, I mean, we weren't championship contenders, so.
What about you, Derek?
Zion's second year.
Now, I think if John Collins continues on this trajectory, if Trae Young becomes a great shooter and a great flashy player, and we get Zion in here, people are going to want to see the Hawks. So if we can come off a really good playoff series with a team, I think we might be able to slide into one of those games. Maybe we go up to New York, because you know they ain't giving us no home game. So, you know, it just like look at Milwaukee, Portland, Utah. Those aren't big, quote unquote, big markets. So you got to get lucky and you got to catch attention 1 year. But I think it'll come. I don't know when. But hopefully soon. I don't know. You know, the league hates us. Hopefully we have more than one national game next year. Maybe we'll play the Mavs 1 year if Trey and Luka end up being like LeBron and Wade of this generation. I'm not saying they're going to be that good. I'm just saying like their personal rivalry. We'll see. But college football is into the thick of the college bowl season so far. None of the big names have really played yet. That of course is coming this weekend and on New Year's Day. But what has been the best bowl game so far in your opinion, Ryan?
It was probably the Birmingham Bowl, played last Saturday against Wake Forest and Buffalo. It came down to a game tying field goal that Buffalo missed, and I think entertainment wise it went back and forth, so I gotta say that's been the best bowl game so far.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the same one, because honestly, a lot of these games have sucked and I'm not watching them. But the Birmingham Bowl was decent. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I've barely watched any. I saw the highlights of that game, and that's really about it. I know there's a few games on. There was a few games on. I think one started at like 5. I think another one starts tonight, too. I forget who's playing, but I really haven't watched much.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this weekend, maybe. I don't know.
I'll watch this week.
Of course, we got a big weekend coming up with the college football playoff semifinals, Alabama versus Oklahoma, and then Clemson versus Notre Dame. Who do y'all have this weekend, Derek?
Let's see. I just have to go ahead and just pick Oklahoma just because that's who I want to win, And then I think Clemson's going to get Notre Dame out of there easily.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Clemson, even though they just lost three starters, I believe, because of the drug test samples that came back this week. I think they'll still beat Notre Dame easily. And then I'm going to go with Bama. I'm never going to pick against them until they prove that I need to pick against them.
Yeah, I think we have two blowouts on our hand this week. And despite all the trouble Clemson is facing right now, Notre Dame does not deserve to be there. Oklahoma does not deserve to be there. We all know who deserves to be there, but it's not there. So I'm going Clemson and Alabama big, and they're going to give us a classic in the national championship next month. Unfortunately, our Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets did not fare well in Paul Johnson's farewell game up in Detroit yesterday. They fell to the Minnesota Golden Gophers 34-10 in a game where they really just did not get anything going whatsoever. What went wrong for our Yellow Jackets, Ryan?
We weren't able to stop the run. The Minnesota's running back, he went off for 230 yards, I believe. And every single time he went downhill, he did lower his shoulder, and we could not tackle him and forced a couple injuries on our side. But, I mean, when you average like 6 yards per carry, I mean, you're not going to win.
Yeah, what about you, Derek?
It showed that it's time for change, and this seemed like everybody was ready, and they're ready for next season, looking forward to the future for them.
Yeah, to me, I was watching bits and pieces on the plane coming home yesterday. It didn't look like Georgia Tech really wanted to be there. It looked like they had mentally checked out. Maybe Paul Johnson had mentally checked out. It just, you know, bowl games can sometimes go that way where the team, you know, it's 4 weeks after your season has pretty much ended. If you're not going to a big one or the playoff, man, it really looked like Georgia Tech had moved on mentally. So hopefully a new coach can come in here and change things up, get us some new recruits, get us that new play style, and get this thing rolling. Because, I mean, it's a beautiful college in the center of the city of Atlanta. Who wouldn't want to be here? How will Paul Johnson be remembered to you, Ryan?
To me, I'm always remember him as a legendary coach, as one of our writers, Brett, said in his article the other day. You know, who I've watched for the past decade. So he's brought joy. He's brought sorrow, you know. But his 2009 season, 2014 season, I won't ever forget. So.
Yeah, Paul Johnson really should be remembered as a positive. He really revolutionized, well, I don't want to say revolutionized the game, but he showed that the triple option can be run at a high level in a Power 5 conference, which I don't think had ever lately really hadn't been done before. So for him to do the things he did, you know, an ACC championship, some Orange Bowl appearances, really, for a team, now keep in mind, Georgia Tech, it is hard. That is a very hard place to recruit because those boys that come in there, they got to go to school. It's not like UGA or anywhere else where they ain't really got to, where they just let them slip by. And hey, I know I'm going to catch some flack for that one, but it is what it is. It's true. When you come to Georgia Tech, you coming out of there with a degree and a future too, if you're a football player. So, hey, again, no disrespect to UGA. They come in there to ball, and you know, different strokes for different folks. But as far as actually wanting a future to like with a head on your shoulder, Georgia Tech is the way to go. So who do y'all have winning the whole championship?
Me, I think Clemson's going to get it done, even with the people out. I think just Dabo is going to find a way to get it done because he always does, and I think they'll end up coming up on top.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Clemson. You're going to see Clemson, Bama in the championship. They played last year. It was a good game up until after half, and that's when Bama was able to find all the momentum. I think this year with Trevor Lawrence and ETN and company, I think Clemson will get it done, beat them by one score.
I don't see Alabama losing. I just can't see it. The only chance Alabama had was losing was to UGA, and we all saw what happened there. I don't think with the suspensions, I don't think Clemson has enough, and they're leaning on a true freshman. I know Georgia almost got it done last year with a true freshman, but if it was going to happen, it would have happened last year, and it would have happened in the SEC championship game. I think Nick Saban is going to have those boys fired up and on a whole nother level. I can't see it happening, but hey, they played a game for a reason. Nobody saw Georgia coming this close in the SEC championship this year or the national championship last year. Really should have won both of those games. We'll see what happens. But on to our Atlanta Falcons. Finally, the 2018 season is coming to an end. It seems like it just got here, but boy, I tell you, we couldn't be ready for it to go away fast enough. The team currently sits at 6-9, headed into the final game with Tampa Bay, in what was expected to be a Super Bowl run type of season, with the Super Bowl right here in our own backyard, Atlanta. So what went wrong this year for the Atlanta Falcons, Ryan?
Injuries and inconsistent offense. Our offense started off hot, or started cold against Philly, but then you saw that stretch of games where we almost scored 40 piece a game. And then after that, you saw us drop, and we barely scored 15. And then all the injuries on defense, plus Devontae Freeman getting hurt. When you have, I think it's 5 or 6 starters go down, it's tough to win in any kind of environment.
Yeah, now when the team started 1-4, I was preaching weekly on Game Time Radio that it's a long season. There was a lot of football left to be played because, you know, if you take a look at those first 5 games, outside of the massacre in Pittsburgh, Atlanta had the chance to win on the final possession of every single one of those. So by the law of averages, I thought, you know, this team is going to get it together. When they started 1-4, I think all of us predicted that they still were going to go 10-6. I remember before the season, we all laughed and chastised that at Bob for saying that we were going to go 9-7 and miss the playoffs. We thought he was an idiot. But, hey, here we are. We're 6-9, so even he was wrong. But, you know, the injuries were just too much. Once that New Orleans game hit, it just – we had nobody left. We had 3rd and 4th stringers out there. But then, you know, we saw them start to get better. We had that game in Washington, and after that game, everybody was like, oh, yeah, come on, we got this now. We're 4-4, 3 in a row, you know, 10-6, here we come. Playoffs, you know, Super Bowl, Atlanta, we got this, Dirty Birds, yeah. But after that, it quickly went downhill to levels that we hadn't seen in a few years. The loss in Cleveland really set the tone for the rest of the season. The defense started to fall apart. The offense started to fall apart in games. Now, thankfully, Matt Ryan had a good season, but it was all to no good, as here we are at 6-9, playing for nothing, playing for draft position, and basically, if we lose. But if we win, we somehow finish 2nd in our division. I think we all agreed that this was supposed to be the best division in football before the season 2. Yeah, look at that. We're not very good at predictions, are we? But what were three positives from this season, Ryan?
You saw Julio Jones start scoring more. That's been an issue everyone's been criticizing him for the past couple of years. Another strong season for Matt Ryan as well. You know, he's putting up some numbers that almost resemble his MVP season, but he's, and then on top of it, you see Casey on the defense. He's really stepped up with starting and proven that he should be a starter for years to come for us.
Yeah, I think I agree with Ryan. It was a bad season. It was hard to watch it sometimes. But there were positives. I mean, Casey, he showed that he's going to be a starter in the future and helped the defense a lot. And then, I mean, we got a lot of solid play from Julio. I mean, he's having one of his best seasons of his career in a time where people thought maybe is he falling off a little bit because he's not scoring touchdowns and stuff, which I think is ridiculous, but still it was a thought. So he answered with one of his best seasons. Matt Ryan is still playing at the highest level that he can. And, I mean, still Calvin Ridley, he showed us signs of being a great pick at that position. I mean, he showed some downfalls, but that's going to happen in a rookie year. And it's going to be – I'm excited to see what will happen in his sophomore year and what will happen when we have everybody back from injuries next season.
I think Matt Ryan should be all three of the positives. What a season he's put together. MVP-type season. The only thing stopping him from being an MVP candidate this year is our record. He has really put together – A magnificent showing. Too bad that we've wasted yet another year of his prime. This is like the third time now that he's had a great season, and it's just like, well, maybe next year. But I think with his skill set, he may be able to play until he's about 40 or 41. What do y'all think about that?
I think because of the way he plays, I mean, he doesn't get injured a lot. I mean, shoot, he really hasn't ever really been injured like that. But I do think that it is time to start looking at a quarterback late in the later rounds, maybe in draft one, to start prepping him for that time where maybe Matt Ryan falls off or it's time to make a change.
Yeah. How long do you see him playing, Ryan?
I'm not sure. Like he said, he could play another 10 years. I'd love to see it. But behind that offensive line, I'm not sure how much football life he's got left because he's been taking a lot of hits his entire career behind them. So, I mean, maybe start looking for a cute quarterback next 2-3 years maybe and start prepping them just in case.
Yeah, then my other two positives are Julio Jones. And actually, I got to give a positive to the defense because with all these injuries, it could have been worse. They put together a few decent games in the past 2 months. They put together a few decent games when really they could have just laid out for dead and gave up 40-50 a game. But of course, after a 6-9 season, changes are going to be made. Changes need to be made. What changes do you want to see made, Derek?
I think it's time. Whoa. Somebody's echoing. I think it's time to. I'm going to let somebody else go and fix this mic.
What do you think, Ryan?
I think changes need to be made at both the coordinator spot. Sarkisian's been on the hot seat going into the season, really hasn't. I mean, like I said earlier, he put together some games, but then the rest of the season we look like we're out of sync on offense completely. And then the defensive coordinator, I know that we've been hurt a lot, but like we play soft zone every single game, and we didn't start getting quarterback pressure until 2 weeks ago. And when we have some talented pass rushers on our line, we should be able to get to the quarterback and create some disruption.
Go ahead.
I definitely think the defensive coordinator should be switched out. I think before you make a change at offensive coordinator, you need to have a serious sit down with Julio and Matt and be like, look, Do we want to give this a third year, or do we want to mix things up yet again? Because Matt Ryan has had so many offensive coordinators. I think this year at times, I mean, look at the numbers he put up, but beyond the numbers, I think Sark made some good strides this year. I don't know if it's worth scrapping it and trying this all over again.
I think Sark did show some signs of being able to create a good offensive flow with the team, but it's just been so inconsistent. So like you said, I think it's all on Matt Ryan and the rest of offense, and how comfortable are they with him, and do they trust him to continue to be that offensive coordinator? And I think another position that we really haven't talked about, I think the special teams, I mean, our special teams have been terrible for a while now. I mean, we've never really got a lot of positive things coming off the special teams on punt return and kick return. And, I mean, we've seen other people like Andre Roberts is having a terrific year. I think he's on the Jets now.
Yeah.
But he's been terrific, and he was terrible for us. So, I mean, I think it has something to do with our special teams coach. And, I mean, changes do need to be made.
Who do you have winning the Super Bowl, Ryan?
I'd love to see either the Bears or the Chargers win the Super Bowl. No one else in the NFC I really get behind besides the Bears. And then I'm not on the Mahomes bandwagon like everyone else is. So I'd like to see the Chargers come out of there because everyone else I'm not too thrilled about.
What about you, Derek? Who's going to be hoisting the trophy up in our very own stadium?
I would love to see Todd Gurley do it, but I don't think they have enough. I don't think Jared Goff is good enough to do that for them. I think a sleeper team, I'm going to throw in the Ravens. I think it's possible that the Ravens, if they can make it to the playoffs, the way that their defense has been playing and that dual threat ability that Lamar Jackson brings, I think they can be troubling and might end up winning the ship.
So would you go with Lamar Jackson, or would you go back to your trusted man in Joe Flacco in a game of that magnitude?
No, it's Lamar Jackson's. It's Lamar Jackson's team now. Has to be.
Yeah, I got. I got Atlanta burning down when the New Orleans Saints come in here and beat the New England Patriots. Because I mean, what better way to illustrate Atlanta sports than that? You know, of course that's going to happen right after we break the curse with Atlanta United win. And why wouldn't that happen? You think the sports gods are going to let us get that high? And we all know it's coming. But quickly on to Atlanta United. They just made a signing today. Breck Shea is going to sign a free agent deal with Atlanta United. He's coming from, I believe, Vancouver. Yeah, he's coming from Vancouver. He's been a member of the U.S. national team. He's played 34 matches for the U.S. national team through his career. Former MLS MVP finalist in 2011, he's going to play the position that Greg Garza did. He was traded off to FC Cincinnati as they get things going on up there. Also, on front, the rumors are still out there. Newcastle, all the big teams in Europe, in what is expected to be a record transfer fee. We could be bringing in $25 to $30 million for Miguel Almirón. So that's going to be a nice payday for Atlanta United to go get some more talent from South America or wherever we choose. Also, officials have said that Joseph Martinez and the team have had a few discussions on a contract renegotiation. He's scheduled to make about $1.5 million next year, which, of course, is very, very underpaid for one of the best players in the league and the face of the franchise. Honestly, you could say he's the face of the league right now. So you'd like to see him get at least five. You could see him get up to seven. Currently, the highest paid player in MLS is Gio up in Toronto. He makes around $7.5 million a year. Now, remember, Atlanta United gets back to the pitch in less than 2 months. First game is February 21st down in Mexico in the CONCACAF Champions League. So things are moving very, very quickly. We got our new coach in Frank DeBoer. I'm sure I just butchered that name, but he's not gonna lose our South American touch. He's able to speak Spanish, English, and there was one more language. I can't remember what it was, but he's able to speak three languages, so that bridge will still be there. We already have a very, very good relationship with a lot of people in South America, so that identity will not be tarnished. He's a very polished coach with a lot of experience overseas, so that should be a good hire. The Pity Martinez deal, that is not official yet, but all signs are pointing to that being a go. That is a very good player who can step into the shoes of Miguel Almiron. Just won a championship down with River Plate. That's a team down in South America, I believe. So things are moving very, very quickly. Training camp opens in about less than a month, I believe. Very, very soon, the training camp opening up. So things are moving very quickly as we try to defend our MLS Cup championship. But let's move on to some buy or sell again with holiday version, a lot of it. But let's start with bowl games. Buy or sell how many bowl games there are, Ryan?
If you would ask me this a couple of years ago, I would have bought it. But recently, I'm selling it. I don't have time to catch every single bowl game. I understand it helps the programs bring in revenue and exposure for players, but fans, you're not getting much out of it.
What about you, Derek?
I'm going to have to still buy it. I mean, like you said, it helps the programs a lot. It's great for the programs, and I mean, a lot of the players really do care about that going into the season, and they want to make a bowl game. So I'm going to have to buy it. I think it's great for the players and the programs.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I'm going to have to rent it. It's just there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are really crappy, and it's like rewarding mediocrity. But, you know, it gives the kids something to look forward to, something to play for, because if you're not – honestly, right now, if you're not Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, you know, those teams, you have no chance of winning a championship. So, you know, what it's almost like, well, aren't you playing for a championship? So what's the point of even, well, I don't want to say what's the point of even trying, but it's like, well, what's the point of the season if you don't have nothing to look forward to? So I think it's a good number of them because pretty much you got to go 500. To make a bowl game if you're in FBS. I still would like to see the playoffs expanded to 8. But that's a whole another conversation. And we had our good guys Tushar and Bob debate that on the site. If you haven't seen that article, go to atlsportshq.com, click on college football, scroll down a little bit, and you will find it. I promise it's easy. But a lot of people this time of year, they get some Christmas gifts on Christmas morning, and they're like, oh, what the hell is this? And they return it, buy or sell, returning Christmas gifts that somebody got you, Ryan.
I mean, over the years, everyone's going to get a bad present. Personally, I'm not one to go back to a store and return it. I kind of just accept it and keep it in the corner and don't mess with it.
What about you, Derek?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and sell that one. I'm a good guy. I ain't going to take back somebody's gift that they gave to me. So I usually, you know, put that fake smile on and act like you like it. Go on about your day.
Yeah, I got to sell that. I mean, it's the thought that counts. If somebody was thoughtful enough to get you something, you got to find a way to use it or something. Because I just think that's rude. I mean, unless you got some kind of extenuating circumstances where you really need the money, then go ahead. But our next buy or sell Christmas gifts as buy or sell getting tickets to games as Christmas gifts. Derek,
I'm gonna buy. I mean, sure, I'll take that gift any day. I mean, tickets are starting to get even more expensive. I need them.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm buying it for Christmas every year. I get my dad tickets to the Falcons game if it's close enough down the holidays time down here in Tampa. Or a couple of years ago, the Christmas gift was the playoff game against Seattle. So I got to buy that.
I'm going to have to sell. I'm so particular with my seating locations. I'd rather just pick it myself. You know, it sounds weird, but I just, especially at the old Phillips Arena, some of the sight lines were bad. You couldn't see the stat board in certain places. I'd rather pick my seat myself. But buy or sell traveling during the holiday season. There,
I'm going to have to sell. I mean, I hate traveling in the first place. I hate going far. I mean, unless Unless it's going somewhere that's warmer or something, I guess, but I still would rather be at home during the holiday seasons with family and stuff.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I gotta sell that. During the holiday season, I prefer to be in my comfortable environment. So we'll usually have family come down here, so we don't have to travel.
Yeah, I gotta sell. I love traveling. I love going places, and I go a lot of places. But during the holiday season, it is awful. Oh my goodness. Yesterday, it took 5 hours to get from Springfield, Massachusetts to New York. That's supposed to be like a 2.5 hour drive. Almost missed our flight messing around with that traffic. I tell you, people talk about Atlanta traffic. Yes, Atlanta traffic is bad, but the duration of up north traffic is ridiculous. It was like nonstop for like 100 miles on I-95 through Connecticut and Massachusetts. It's ridiculous, but definitely make sure you guys tune in weekly to Game Time Radio. Sundays at 6 o'clock. We got me and Bob on there weekly now. So two of the three seats are ATL Sports HQ. And definitely make sure you're supporting our host, Edub, and everything he does at thehawksbeat.com. He does an amazing job covering the Hawks, every angle, post-game videos, pre-game videos, live tweets, Instagram videos. That man does it all for the Hawks. He should be your source for all things for the inside scoop of the Atlanta Hawks. But definitely thank you for joining us here tonight on ATL Sports HQ Live. Let's get our ending shout outs. Derek, let's start with you.
I want to shout out everybody that is watching, and I hope everyone had a great Christmas and hope they have a good New Year.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, you got to shout out everyone watching. A few special shout outs go out to my boy, Brett and Rich. Day ones.
I definitely want to shout out my family. Had a good time visiting them over Christmas. Shout out everybody listening, everybody in the YouTube comments. We see you. Definitely, I want to shout out everyone on the site as we go through some major transitions. We got some big stuff coming for y'all after the first of the year. You're definitely going to want to come to atlsportshq.com every day. And you're going to want to make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, because we're going to have stuff flying at you. Just wait. We're coming big. I finally graduated and have more time on my hands going forward. So we're going to get this thing rolling. We're committed to becoming your source for all things Atlanta sports. So definitely thank you for tuning in tonight. Have a good evening. Make sure you join us with our regular host next Thursday, because he's a lot better at this than I am. Thank you all for tuning in, and have a good night.